Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 25 of Beyond Retro. I'm Nathan Kennedy, and I'm joined by Joe Amato. Tyler is absent. He's not with us today. He's got some family stuff going on because, of course, it is Easter weekend, and we'll kind of talk a little bit about some other stuff that we're also doing. We're going to do two shows this weekend, and we'll get into that later, but Joe, how you doing, man?
Doing good. I know a lot of people probably wondering, like, why are we recording right now on Saturday? Just like you said, Sunday, Easter, some people might be busy. So that's in case, hey, Jake Juggalo in the chat room, thank you for joining us. But yeah, that's why we're not, or that's why I'm not doing it tomorrow, is because I know I'll be busy Sunday. But I know that Nathan and Tyler, you guys should be free to do a bonus, another episode. Not even really a bonus, but just another episode of Beyond Retro tomorrow, correct?
Yeah. And we tossed around different ideas because I know a couple weeks ago on the last show, we're like, yeah, Roadhouse. But we, after some further discussion with Tyler, what we're going to do is we're going to do Batman, the animated series, but we're also going to do a commentary for one of the episodes. So hopefully people will check that out tomorrow.
Yeah, that'll be good. That'll be good. But yeah, this one figured, well, since you and I, like you said, we always do that little side rant of video games that'll drive Tyler nuts, even though it's not saying Tyler hates video games. Tyler likes video games, but right. He knows you and I go a little nuts sometimes with video games. So we said, well, what the heck? How about we just do an episode and dedicate it to video games, some of our favorites from the past. And hell, I'm sure that you still play them. I don't, because I just haven't played in about 10 years, but figure we could share stories about some of our favorites.
Yeah, I still play, but not frequent enough. I get shit from my girlfriend and a couple of my other friends because I'll talk about a game and then I'll go buy it and then I'll sit down and play it once, maybe 2-3 hours, and then it collects dust. And a few months later, I'm like, oh, hey, there's this game. I bought this game.
So you don't do it as passionately as you used to?
No. No, that was a weird turning point for me because video gaming has always just been this staple since I was like 4 years old, you know? Mm-hmm. Being a kid going through my teen years, it was just like every weekend, every night that I could, video games, video games, video. And then at some point I would just sit down and play something. And I don't want to say I got bored or I lost. It's tough to explain it. And it's happened to some of my other friends too. I don't know if it's happened to you since you say you don't really play anymore.
For me, what happened was when I stopped playing is it was when I got this one job working at like a factory where I was doing shipping, receiving, pre-box, and all this other stuff. I would come home and I was just dead tired. And I didn't even have the energy to play games no more. So that job sucked the life out of me. I worked there for like 10 years. Like, oh man, I can't even enjoy playing video games no more. But after that place closed down, then I started making action figures for a living. And I feel like my mind is so scattered and focused usually just right on, you know, the action figures that I haven't played any of the newer stuff. But I mean, back in the day when I played, I mean, yeah, I caught these patterns on quickly when I play a game. It was just really good. And it's not like I honestly never played until the middle of the night. I've always heard a lot of people say that they'd stay until the middle of the night playing games. I never even did that. I would just I'd buy a brand new game, play it, and kind of get the patterns, bam, and beat it. So it's like, wow, Joe, you're always playing games, like, kind of, but not really, because I'd do it quickly, but then I'd had some favorites that I'd go back to that were just fun. Some had really good replay value. So I don't know which ones, like, if you have any around you, or if you want to start off saying, like, maybe some of your favorites that you remember.
I picked out a certain stack, and these aren't necessarily like my absolute favorites, but I just wanted to pick some different titles because, you know, everyone's played, owned the Mario games, you know, the Sonics, like all of these mainstay games. Like, I'll just pick a random one here. I don't have a very big Genesis collection.
Okay.
But this was a game that I rented, and it's Skitchin. It's like Road Rash, but it's inline skating.
I never bought or played that. I mean, I never played that game.
I mean, it's just like Road Rash, except you're on inline skates. So you're racing against other competitors. There's cars that are going by, and you can like move over to them and grab on. And then like other guys will try to grab onto the bumpers of the car, and you're like knocking them off, and you get like weapons like crowbars and things like that.
Oh, that sounds pretty cool. Now, when you get hit, do you go flying like a mile down the road? Like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's like certain ramps, like you'll hit them, you'll go way up, and if you don't land it, the guy will land and just like tumble roll in the ground.
Well, at least you don't have a bike to run back to, like in Road Rash, when you fell off all the way back to your bike, you're just on your skates.
Yeah, so I just, man, like I don't even really know where to start. Like, Joe, when did you first, what's the first console, your first video game experience that you can remember?
Oh, okay. I mean, well, like I said, I had Intellivision, Odyssey. I mean, I had ColecoVision and Atari. Some of my old Atari games that I remember the most, like there was this one game called Kaboom, and it was like they would drop these bombs at the top, and you had this turning paddle, and you were like a bucket, and you had to try to catch these bombs from hitting it, or otherwise it went kaboom, because I think it was like a, I don't know if it was a bank robber guy or who it was, but he was dropping these bombs. But that stuck in my head just for like the insanity factor of this back and forth and everything. And hello to Chris Simpson, and he said, Nathan, nice haircut. So.
Oh, yeah, thank you. It's nice to not have to sit and wear a hat all the time in shame of...
there you go. But, no, so like I said, I remember Kaboom. I remember Atari was the first game I ever bought. I had this wooden bank that my dad made for me, and I just put pennies in it. That was all that went in that bank. And eventually it got so thick and heavy. I mean, it got so heavy it was spilled to the top. Had to, you know, like busted open, and my grandma helped me roll up all the pennies. And I think I ended up having like $24 maybe. It was so, it's weird. You think, God, how can you remember? But I was excited because as a kid, to have that kind of money, I felt like I was rich. But I had around $24. And then she took me to the store and had me buy, you know, said, what game do you want to buy? And I bought Asteroids. That was the first game I ever bought. So that's, I mean, I guess that's it. But yeah, I just started just, you know, when Nintendo came out, I was never a Nintendo, as they say, Nintendo fanboy, a Sega fanboy, anything like that. I just like video games. And I used to come across people who just liked this particular console or this one.
Yeah.
And they would never like wanting to give the other one a shot, saying, oh, well, Nintendo sucks, Sega sucks. I'm like, actually, they don't. It's, there might be games that suck on each system, but then there's fantastic games on each system. It's like, just when you're a video game player, and I'm sure a lot of people who are listening to this, and including, of course, including you, you just, when you're into games, you're into games, and you realize all these systems can have freaking great games.
Yeah, like I think I was just a Nintendo fanboy by default, because for me, it was a thing of my parents were like, well, why do we need to buy two of these things? Like, it was hard for me as a kid to try to explain to them the jump from Nintendo to Super Nintendo and what the difference was, because to them they're just like, oh, I'm spending $200 more or whatever.
It's true. That's true. So,
I was mostly Nintendo consoles. I would go to my friend's house to play the Sega games, and then eventually at one point he gave me his Genesis, and then that's when I started like renting more and more games. Like I do have a couple sports titles, but they are like, they're not your Matt, like Mutant League Football.
Okay. Oh yeah, I do remember that. I do.
Yeah,
remember that.
And I don't know, this game, like, it gameplay wise, it plays like Madden did at the time. But for me, it was fun just to because the players would die, and when they would run out of enough people, then they would forfeit. I don't know. It was neat for me.
That's cool. That's cool.
Because when I was, I think about 6 years old till I was about 13, I was into sports. I like baseball the most, which, you know, another sports title here, Ken Griffey Jr. Baseball. Tyler brought it up on a couple episodes that's like one of his
games. That's the one you'd play a lot, huh?
Yeah, I played the shit out of that game when I was a kid. And the thing about it is it still holds up for me, because, you know, it's in the same vein of like your RBI baseballs and everything. Like, anyone can pick up and play it, even if, you know, you're not a particular fan of baseball. I know a lot of people that...
No, you're right. There's some sport games that it's just like you feel like you couldn't go back to. Like, you know, a lot of the Maddens, a lot of the, you know, NBA Lives, whatever, and, you know, just certain ones where it had those players for that, you know, certain year. And, of course, the graphics. And you know how it is when you're playing sports. It's like you usually don't want to go back to the old thing. You want the current roster, the current players, and it feels weird playing it. But, like, some of the old games on Nintendo, I don't know, like Tecmo Super Bowl, that just worked because – well, it wasn't. I don't think those were real players.
Yeah, that's another one I brought down too.
There you go. Tecmo Super Bowl, Double Dribble. I mean, those were.
Yeah.
Real quick, I want to ask anybody in the chat room. Okay, it just went away. I was going to ask if they heard a slight echo, but no. Some of them, they did work like that. But yeah, I what was it? I was getting into the. I liked NBA Jam. I love playing that. I like some of the NBA 2K series that Sega was doing at one time. But no, I just it was just mainly basketball. Any of the sports, I was doing basketball and I was doing boxing, and that might have been it. But really quick, the Jake Juggalo in the chat room said his favorite game when he was little was Kid Icarus on the Nintendo and Slime World on the Atari Lynx. God, I never heard of that's cool, man. I have not heard many people mention Slime World ever. That was pretty good. That
I'm
is
gonna
good.
Feel ashamed to say I never even heard of that game.
You might have to Google it. There's some that are ones a lot of people might not know, but Slime World was it was a vast game. Yeah, you'll have to Google. Definitely have to Google it. But Chris Simpson, like he said, he liked NBA Jam, loved NHL Hits, and NFL Blitz. Okay, yeah, see, games like that seem like it still has some kind of like appeal. But now I'm going to grab, hold on a second.
Yeah, go ahead and grab your fat stack of your awesome boxed games.
Well, it's hard to always pick. I always have some, but okay. I mean, Nintendo, there's, well, all these systems, there's so many I could constantly keep grabbing and grabbing, but Ghosts and Goblins. This was one game that, wow. I mean, first, what I love is it's so damn tough. But then just picture being the kid to where you think you save the girl or the princess at the end, beat the game, and it was nothing but like, you know, a nightmare, or it was like just a dream, and you had to do it again. And you're sitting there, you dropped the controller. I remember I dropped the controller. I was like, no. And then it started right from level one again. I was like, what? I hit pause. I must sat there, I don't know, 20 minutes because I didn't want to. I was like, I don't want to do this again. I was like, again? And then you finally, because God, you just remember levels when you were fighting, you know, any of the demons and the one levels before the main last level. It was, God, it was just so annoying, especially patterns. If you accidentally, a stupid item got in the way when you didn't want it to be and it changed your other items. Like, oh my God. It's just, this one took a while as a kid. This one did take me a while because you just had to do it twice, and it just was so damn annoying. But
yeah, see, I didn't even play that one as a kid. I played it when I got older, and
you know what I love about this? It's what you're saying right there. Like, you played as an adult because my nephew's, like, my one nephew, really good at video games, and he's into, of course, the current stuff now. You know, a lot of first-person shooters and strategies and hide and sniping and all that, which, you know, that's amazing for what you do, but I said, why don't you try? It wasn't even Ghosts and Goblins. It was Ghouls and Ghosts on Sega Genesis. I told him, I said, let's try to play this game. He was dying on level one over and over and over. He's like, I'm done. But he was super good. But some of these people these days that play the new games,
yeah,
they find a hell of a hard time to play some of these old school games.
No, I feel like it's kind of regressed my skills. I've gone back and played games on Nintendo that I beat when I was a kid, and I can't even do it anymore. And I'm like, well, how? Maybe it was just the patience thing. I don't know.
Could be a patience, or do you feel like, you know, you have other things that you want to do? Like, not saying you can't sit there and enjoy playing a video game, but is like work on your mind too much, other things, and that's why you don't feel like you can focus on the game, or hey, maybe I'll watch a movie, or I got to go out and eat, take my lady to go eat. You know, things like that come up.
Yeah, that's probably part of it, honestly, because my mind's always thinking about other things all day. So when I do sit down to play a game, I guess it is kind of hard to concentrate. Because when I was a kid, it was just, I'm focused on this game. Like, Wolverine on Nintendo is a shitty game. And when I got it for Christmas, I'm just playing, and I'm like, oh, this isn't that good. And then I just kept playing, like, every day, because I was determined to, I guess... force myself to enjoy it, and I beat the game. I bet if I went and tried to play it now, I would be horrible at it.
You never know. I mean, you might, like I said, sometimes the skills, they just don't go away. But no, it's just, yeah, I sit there and I'll go do an old school a lot. And oh, hello, Anthony Lombardi in the chat room, thank you for joining us. And he said that K-Dash on Sega Genesis was his first experience with constant rage quitting. He said that final boss sucked. That was like a side-scrolling type game and fantasy stuff. And yeah, that was a good game if nobody out there has ever played it. But let me grab my other one here.
I guess while you're grabbing stuff too, I want to go ahead and apologize to anyone watching live in the chat today, and you know, just anyone that was expecting an episode last week, because we were going to do something last week, but here where I live, we got about 9 to 12 inches of heavy wet snow, and it took out one of the limbs in the backyard and knocked out our power and the internet. So We
well,
got
yeah,
that.
don't apologize for man.
Power was restored Monday morning, so we went about a day and a half without power, which whatever. Then the internet got fixed, I want to say Tuesday. So sorry to all of those that were expecting an episode last Sunday.
Well, like I said, nothing to apologize for, man. I mean, you can't do anything about the weather, and then you weren't even feeling good. But hey, at least we're back now, like you said, doing this episode. Well, and of course, Castlevania. You cannot have played Nintendo without playing Castlevania. This game is just, this is one. See, unlike Ghosts and Goblins, where, like I said, I don't feel like, I love it. Great hard game. I love it, but I'm never like in the mood to figure, you know what? I want to endure maybe an hour of insanity with Ghosts and Goblins and possibly getting pissed at those little fire demons or anything else.
Yeah.
Castlevania, though, I could pop this sucker in anytime and play some Castlevania. From, you know, fighting Frankenstein, and then when you were fighting at the end, Dracula, when it was Dracula, and then turned into the big giant, you know, blue kind of demon beast, because especially when you think you have it, like, hey, just beat him, and he transforms into something else, like, what just happened?
Yeah.
But my go-to weapon was that damn boomerang, like that double boomerang, when you got the, like, the power-ups where you could throw once, and then you could throw a couple times, and boy, I just love just drilling that thing out at some of those enemies. That's a game that, like I said, if I can't picture anybody that's ever said I played this and hated Castlevania.
The music in that game is amazing.
It is. It's a great atmosphere. It just sucks you right in. From, like you said, the music to, and it has a smooth gameplay. You know, sometimes there's games that'll have part 1, 2, 3. And then when they make sequels, you know, for some of you wondering, like, what happened? Whether it's they changed the complete style of how the game was, or even the feel. It's like, how did you lose the feel of that? For like, quick example, here's one of my favorite Sega Master System games to play, and that's Raztan. I mean, anytime I had somebody that was like a barbarian-type warrior, I immediately thought, this is my version of He-Man, especially when they have that sword and kind of hold it up.
Yeah.
A picture was playing as He-Man. But this game, nice music, fun, good gameplay. It's just, especially if you remember it in the arcade. I mean, of course, in the arcade, it's freaking super amazing, but...
Yeah, I remember playing that in the arcade I remember playing the arcade version at the laundromat.
Addicting, wasn't it?
That was
very
I'm
addicting.
Sitting there begging my parents. They would give me, because at the time, it only cost a quarter to play, and I think that my dad gave me like a dollar, and probably about 20 minutes later, I was out. So I went to him and I was like, can I have more? And he was like, no. And I was like,
oh. I know, because, man, this game, it's just, I love that music. I mean, it was just booming in the arcade. It really just sucked you in. Especially the parts where, like, you know, when he's, you know, when you die, you hear that, he screamed and then just disappeared to pieces. But that music, when it kicked in on that first level, it was booming. I don't know if they had some kind of Dolby sound back then, but it sure felt like it. But
right.
They did a great job of it on the Sega Master System. And if the thing that sucked, this is what I mean, Raztan, amazing. But they did that Raztan 2, and they had that on Genesis. And I was like, I don't know what happened, the whole feel of it. The look of the character changed, the way he attacked, the way he moved. It felt so clunky and strange. I was like, I can't stand this. I hate that when you have a game you love so much, and when they do a sequel, it feels nothing like the first. And of course, you got to keep it, at least mechanic-wise, feel like it's playing the same. I understand trying to upgrade graphics, but it's like, okay, how can you jump up with the graphics, but then just fall apart on the controls and doesn't have that smooth feel, you know? It's just, I don't know what they think when they do some things.
Did that bother you a lot, like the arcade ports? Playing them in the arcade, and then when you finally got around to playing the console version, did it bum you out a lot as a kid?
Well, you know, I guess graphics, it wasn't seeming like it was as noticeable. I mean, sure, some cases, yes, it was very noticeable. But I remember I played Raztan at the arcade. I enjoyed the hell out of it. And then when I heard it was coming home to the Sega Master System, I was like, I have to get it. And I noticed, yes, the graphics were, like, you know, downgraded, and so was the sound effects, but it still had a fun play.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's just like I said, because they slightly redid level designs and everything to make it its own game, so it worked for this. Some, I could see that. I mean, you could say that maybe with, like, Ninja Turtles, you know, the arcade game, and then come home to, you know, Nintendo or Super Nintendo or however which ones came.
Yeah.
It, kind of looked different, but it kind of worked, but it was noticeable, but you could still enjoy it. I can't think of many, it's weird that you say it. I can't think of ones that really had a giant, oh my God. I'm sure there are, because there might be people in the chat room that even know of some, but like offhand, anything I played at the arcade, I liked on home consoles, like Cruisin' USA. I love that at the arcade, and I think, when that came out, was it Nintendo 64 that had Cruisin' USA? I still liked it. I know it wasn't as great as the arcade, but I thought it was still good enough. I don't think it was that much of a drop. I mean, maybe you have something offhand too, but I was like, I'm sitting there trying to think of what had a horrible, horrible drop, but I
See,
can't think of
I will disagree with you on Cruisin' USA. I thought the port of that was quite bad.
it. You thought it was really bad? I mean,
I
it
wouldn't
wasn't
say
the
it was
lowest.
really bad, but it
You think it's because you weren't sitting down? Because I admit, I miss sitting down and driving with that wheel. It felt so damn good. I felt like I was in the game. And when I came home, maybe it's because I liked it so much. And see, it might be hard to ask me that. Maybe it's
I
because
mean,
I liked
it could have been the controls, because like it just seemed like in that port that there wasn't any weight to the vehicles, like at least in the arcade it had a weight to it, to the, I don't know.
No, I understand what you mean. I mean, you're right. Like I said, it was different. It wasn't enough to where I thought it was completely, completely different. But you're right. It did have a different feel. But I think it's just because I just love that damn game so much, playing it in the arcade and sitting down. And yes, that was the sucky thing. It's just like when I had Hang On on the Master System, excuse me, compared to the arcade. Now, see, those are games. See, that's where you can say, all right, there is kind of a noticeable difference, but it's still fun. Like, there was Space Area, and then there was Hang On at the arcade for Sega. Freaking super amazing and fun, especially when you're having the ones where you're moving with the game itself. And then when it came home to the home systems, still cool, but you're not controlling anything, like on a bike or anything, or have this joystick thing to where you're playing Space Area. But I guess it just still kind of sucked you in. So yeah, it's tricky. And also, hello to Tamara Shipper in the chat room. She said her favorite game was Bubsy Claw's Encounter of the Third Kind on the Super Nintendo and Garfield on the Game Boy. I did play some Bubsy. I like Bubsy. I always loved those side-scrolling platformers, Mario, Sonic, Bubsy. Those were always fun games.
Yeah, I didn't mind Bubsy too much. I remember renting it and playing it, and I was just like, yeah, that was okay. And
Yeah.
then what else was there? Like Joe and Mac.
Joe and Mac, there's Ristar, there's Tin Head. God, I mean, they just had tons of side scrolls. The one that Tyler liked to joke on me about, I said, Kid Chameleon. He said, oh, Jesus, Joe, you were talking about Kid Chameleon like it was the second coming of the greatest game of all time. He says, that's nothing but Sonic. I said, no, Tyler, no, it's not. He's like, it's the same thing, the same color, looks, design, level play. I was like, no, that's the side-scrolling platformer. I said, it is completely different. I said, plus the amount of different characters that you could become. And Kid Chameleon, phew, that you'd think that I would have pulled that out, but I didn't. I'm gonna show another before you show yours, but I'm gonna go to Super Nintendo. And I'm gonna go to a game that upset me only for one reason, that I wished it would have been two player, because this here, Batman Returns. Oh, people, I'm not lying. If you have never played this, play it. Talk about a good side scroll and beating them up, like how you feel like Streets of Rage and Final Fights. That's what this Batman is. The only damn downside was you couldn't play with somebody. But I know you think, well, who would you play with? If it's based off of the movie, there was no Robin in there, so you couldn't do that. But I still wish somehow, because my buddies would watch me play, and even when I watched them play, I was like, damn, I wish I could join in and play with them. Because it was just that damn fun. I wish they could have found some gimmick in the game, but I guess that wouldn't have kept it true to the movie, because they tried to do cut scenes and try to make it feel like you're playing the flow of the movie. So I do understand that, but please tell me you played this damn game.
Oh yeah, it's up there. It was one I had considered grabbing, because there was like, all those Konami beat 'em up games are just fantastic. The music's great. They control well. I almost thought about bringing down Sunset Riders as well.
Yes, I played that on Tyler's request because I didn't play it, I think, ever. But then when he mentioned how much he played that, I think he said in the arcade and the home systems, then I tried it. I was like, that was a damn fun game.
I'll keep up with the Batman thing and Batman on NES.
Yes.
I mean, this game's, I don't know, maybe you thought it was easy. I thought this game was very difficult as a kid, but the cut scenes and the music in it are top notch. I love this. So this is a soundtrack to a game. I don't know if you do this, Joe, but there are certain games that I'll just sit and listen to the music from. I don't even have to be playing the game. I don't know if you do that. Maybe it's just me.
Well, for some I do. There were some that were very memorable with, you know, music and some of the role-playing, the action games. I will say there's one game I'm going to pick up and tell you specifically about why I loved the music so much. First, I want to say Anthony Lombardi said, to this day, Sunset Riders is the reason I like cowboys and westerns. And then he, like, laughed. Well, hey, that'd be cool. Because I wasn't much of a western person. I never got into them damn movies.
I wasn't either. But, yeah. I mean, if there was anything to get anyone into the genre, that would...
Yeah, that would some work. Some work for... It does. Some work for a gimmick. Now, I'm going to grab... All right. First, okay, now this game... It's obvious why I like it, because people know what kind of fan I am of what you're going to see. Then I remember just playing the living crap out of it to see how quickly I could do a particular thing and listen to music. But Royal Rumble on Super Nintendo, I loved it, because the thing is, when you were back in the day of watching wrestling, we didn't have, you know, the internet to then download and listen to some of our entrance music that we liked of our wrestlers. As, you know, so we had on Royal Rumble, when you highlighted that character, it would like play their theme song. I was like, yep. How close can they get to it? Now we'd just be sitting there listening to Razor Ramon's music and Macho Man and Tatanka, The Undertaker. I just love just sitting there at the title screen, I mean, at the select screen, and just listening for a long time.
I rented the shit out of that game. That's also another one that I have upstairs.
How fun was this?
Yeah.
I mean, especially when you're doing the Royal Rumble. I had this little pattern that I wanted to see how quickly I could eliminate people out of the ring. And I'm sure there's other patterns people might have. But right when you start off, you could pretty much, you lock up, you don't throw the person against the ropes. Then you run over to like the other rope, and then they're still running at you. You throw them over the top rope.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you just throw them out. Because in this one, it was the hip toss over the ropes. But I think in the Raw version, you're right, you throw them like over the big back body drop over the top ropes. But I could sit there and eliminate everybody. Right when the one person came in, I threw them against the ropes, ran. Because you had to get kind of close to the one side of the one rope. See, you know the pattern. You get close.
And that's the thing too. If you got too far, I want to say it was too far up or too far down, when you go to Irish whip them, they would just bounce off the rope and just like back.
Yeah, they would hit the turnbuckle. And also if you were too close to the middle of, like, right in the center of the ring and locked up and threw it, by the time they ran back to you, they stopped running or they do a drop kick. So you had to be in a certain spot to do it. But this was great. And, you know, I got the ones for Genesis too, but, you know, because especially when I seen the Ultimate Warrior, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to hear the Ultimate Warrior's music on a video game system. And then it was like, dang, 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 dang. I was like, oh, it was buzzkill. I was like, damn it, Warrior, why couldn't you have been on Super Nintendo? It might have sounded a little bit better.
I don't know why either, but in that game, my main go-to character was Tatanka. And I have no idea why.
You know why I did it? I'll be honest. The reason I used to pick him a lot is... he was around at the time, I think, when he first came around, where the Ultimate Warrior wasn't around. And he had face makeup and little tassels. And I kind of thought, hey, it's kind of like an Ultimate Warrior guy.
Yes. And he had that undefeated streak for a while, too. Maybe that was part of it.
Yeah, so now I love this. And at least in this one, it implemented finishing moves, unlike that first one, WrestleMania, Super WrestleMania. I remember nobody had a finishing move, so I figured, well, heck, if I'm Macho Man, everybody can do a flying elbow off the top rope. So I picked him all the time, basically, because I was like, there's my finishing move.
Yeah.
It's like, that's all I could do. But you go ahead, you pick one. But yeah, those are some of my, I mean, I have tons of favorites. We could be here for like a day talking, but I just want to pick some quick impulse ones.
Yeah, the stuff that I picked, like we had Tecmo Super Bowl and Ken Griffey, and, you know, I do have a couple of these in here that I really like. G.I. Joe, this was the sequel.
You know, I'll be honest, I never played that.
Yeah, I got this for my birthday.
It was a nice box art.
I wasn't surprised, because I had wanted that first G.I. Joe game that came out. And then I saw this one, and I just started playing. I'm like, wow, this is cool, because like, you start off, I think you can pick between like one or two characters. You start to go through the levels, and as you progress, you get more Joes that you can choose from. And like, this is also a tough game.
Is it? That's a beautiful, like I said, I love the box art on it.
Let me try to get that, so much glare from the computer screen here, but old Snake Eyes. I was like, when can I unlock Snake Eyes? And like, you have to wait a little bit, of course. And I was like, oh man.
So, I mean, did you beat that game though? Was it one that, you know, can be beaten?
No, yeah, I eventually did beat this game. It took many, many, many tries. This is probably another game if I went to go play now, I don't think I would be able to even come close to beating.
You should do it. Go old school. You got to try to pop them in and see if you still got the skill. I mean, I know I do it with some of these games a lot. I was like, do I still got it? I got to just check. I got to see.
Now I'm just going to start digging in here. Like, all right, there's the manual. And I just noticed here's like a really awesome ass Capcom poster.
Yeah, they used to always put some good posters in there. Posters or mail-aways for something or
free. Oh, actually, it's not. It's like a little brochure. It's like, oh, here's the Mega Mans and here's Destiny of an Emperor. And here's Street Fighter 2010.
That's pretty cool. Man, a lot of people lost their posters throughout the years. They just kind of...
Oh, well. And there's the California Raisins game. I don't even think that got released.
Wow, I was going to say I've never played that game. But if it wasn't, I never remembered. Yeah, let me see. Anthony Lombardi said that, yes, he said that Joe game was awesome. He said he played the game last year and couldn't get past the first boss. So
it's a tough game.
I'll have to check it out. I've honestly never played it. Never played it. So let me grab, oh man. Now, I'm going to grab a game. Now, I played, of course, Miracle Warriors on the Sega Master System. Remember when I played that? It was my first introduction to role-playing games. Because around the time Miracle Warriors came out, it felt like around the same time, maybe a month later, I think that they had Dragon Warrior come out on Nintendo. And this was different for home console players because we didn't do this type of stuff before. We had side-scrolling action games, this, that. But I was like, what am I doing? I'm going across the land and things pop up and hit power. And I'm like, good God, I've never had a computer. I know computer players and all this stuff. I was like, I don't know what the hell's going on. And I played it. Miracle Warriors was great. But then came the doozy, the whopper. The greatest 8-bit role-playing game of all time. And I know some people love, you know, Final Fantasy on Nintendo, and I love it too. I have Final Fantasy, and I have Dragon Warrior. But this just, Phantasy Star, my goodness. Beyond an epic, epic storyline and a lot of, you know, time to play, you know, because you put a lot of hours into this.
Yeah.
It has some of the most amazing graphics you could think about. Now, they have these 3D dungeons that you go into, and it didn't feel clunky or choppy because I have some 16-bit role-playing games that I love on Genesis, on Super Nintendo, and not even those had the flow of this. I mean, it was a big whopper of, it's a 4-mega, you know, like, or 4-meg game back in the day, and for an 8-bit system, that's super powerful. But just to have... First, you're going through 3D dungeons, and then when the enemy appears in you, unlike on Miracle Warriors and in Final Fantasy and some of those games on the 8-bits where they're just sitting there frozen like this, and when you hit them, you see a little shake or something like that.
Yeah.
No, these characters, when they're in front of you, they're animating. Like, you see a dragon turn and blow fire on you. You'll see a sandworm come out and boom, hit you right on the screen and come back. They animated the hell out of this. So if you have never played Phantasy Star, and I'm sure you can do it on emulators if you don't want to go hunt down the old cartridge or Master System. You need to play this. Plus, this was the game that actually got my mom into playing role-playing games. My mom loved side-scrollers. Like, she loved Ghosts and Goblins. She liked R-Type, Gradius. She liked a lot of those side shooters, space shooters. But she watched me play Phantasy Star. And for whatever reason, I wasn't comprehending this one part about finding a mirror shield to beat Medusa. It went on for almost a month. That's why, I mean, this is, you talk about, okay, I can beat side-scrollers quick, but with this game, I don't know what the hell's going on. They said, kept talking about going to an island and find the mirror shield. And I'd go onto this island and there's nothing. It's just an island. I was like, I don't get it. And I was like, maybe something will appear magically. And I would fight on this little island for hours. A month went by. Like I said, every time I'd play, my mom was like, oh, playing that Phantasy Star again? I was like, yeah. She said, okay, let me know when you're done. Because she wanted to play some of her stuff too. She started watching me, though, and really getting into it. She's like, Joe, she's like, you keep going on that island. She's like, have you searched it? I said, yeah. I said, I've been walking on this island forever and around it. I said, maybe this is the wrong island. She said, no, search it. She says, you know how you go into towns and when you bring up that one menu, they talk to people or do something? She said, you could do that by yourself, right? And I said, oh, my God. I said, don't tell me that's it. So I started on this one little part, went through the whole thing, and I'm not kidding. One little corner of the island was left. I was like, Here we go. No, sir, just said, you found the mirror shield. She screamed, she said, Jesus Christ, you got it. And she got so excited. She started watching me play every bit of it. This became her game to play then. She would play it religiously. And then she got part 2, 3, 4 on Genesis. But that's what it takes sometimes, to get people into something, to watch you play, to drive them nuts. But it was something else. I never would have got it if she probably wouldn't have said it back then, because my brain was like, phew, just was gone.
Yeah, like my mom had nothing to do with playing video games with me. My dad, however, would jump in, like the sports games we'd play each other in on Super Nintendo and Nintendo. And then I've told the story before, but he used to play the Turtles 2 arcade game with me on Nintendo when that came out, and we got to the end and we didn't beat Shredder. And then I kept playing it, kept playing it, kept playing it. And I finally beat him on my own. And I remember just running into the living room and I'm like shaking. And I told him I'd beat it. And he was just like, oh, yeah. Like, I don't know if he was like genuinely like happy for me. He's probably just like, oh, finally, now I don't have to like help him play that game anymore.
Well, heck, I mean, he might have really enjoyed it. Maybe he was kind of a little upset that you did it without him. He's like, oh, that's great. He's like, damn it, he did it without me.
Now, with Phantasy Star, was. Because you said your mom continued to play them, was that a series that you kept up with for a long time? Or
I kept up with it through the Genesis when it came onto some of the other systems, and they did this Phantasy Star Online. Mm-hmm. I wasn't into it. The whole feel of the game just it changed. But no, I got part one on Genesis. Then they did part 2, 3, and 4. I mean, I'm sorry. I got part one on the Master System, and I got 2, 3, and 4 on the Genesis, and Part 2, I mean, it was even more epic, I mean, well, graphics-wise and everything, than 1. This just has a super great place in my heart, because Part 2 didn't do the 3D dungeon thing no more, but it had amazing animation and graphics and everything. But that was when I was on a search for it, and I was going to Toys R Us all the time, and I think Children's Palace just closed down, maybe, in my area. So I was usually stuck just Toys R Us. Never could find it. And that's when I was randomly walking in my local mall. And it was called Software, Etc. was the store. And they all focused on computer stuff. And like I said, I was walking by and I just happened to look over. And I was like, have I seen video games in that store? And I walked into the store and I was like, no way. And bam, sitting right there was Phantasy Star 2. And I had that money on me because I had it every time I went out and searched. Like I said, went from Toys R Us, then I just went to the mall just to go to the mall.
Yeah.
Bought that sumbitch that quick. And oh man, it was over. So Software, Etc. started becoming the place I'd go to. And like I said, I went there so much and would ramble about games so much that the people, you know, that worked there said, so when are you going to start working for us? And I was like, really? They said, yeah. They said, we know nothing about these video games. We're into the computer stuff, but you know everything about video games. When do you want to start? I was like, oh, whenever you want. They said, okay. They said, we'll get your application. And they said, you just start next week. So I came in the next day just to fill out. It didn't even care what I was putting down. They didn't even care. They wanted me in that store. Sure enough, I started there Monday and was selling games like crazy.
How long did you work there?
I worked there until that place closed down, because it was in a dead mall, and it was there probably a year and a half before that mall went dead and went away. So I worked at Software Center for about a year and a half.
All right. I remember at our mall that it was a software. We had a Software, etc. And then they also had an electronic boutique that came in there at some point, and then EB closed, and then Software turned into GameStop.
Yeah, there was so many like buyouts and replacements, because there was in this other mall, Software, Etc., and there was like, you know, Electronics Boutique, then there was Babbage's, then there's GameStop. It's like everything just kept changing. But Software, Etc., I admit it, had the most dreary inside for a store that you could ever see. It was that purple color. It was just like purple and gray. It's like,
yeah, I remember going in there and it was just sort of drab. Like, you know, you're looking at the video games, and I remember specifically like the computer section itself had an actual PC sitting there. And I think it was like demoing.
Probably F-16 Flight Simulator. They love doing that at my damn store.
It was either that or like Doom.
They might.
Those were like the two things. I'm like, it's kind of weird to think about, because I remember also going into a Lowe's store,
mm-hmm.
and you're just like, all right, well, home improvement store, and oh, there's a computer. Oh, it's got Doom on it. What?
That's weird.
I guess at some point they were actually selling computers at Lowe's.
I never knew that. But yes,
which is strange to think about.
That is very strange. Yeah, I wish Software Center would have had a better color choice for in the store, because when you did go in there, you felt depressed. I mean, to have a purple, dark purple and grays, and it's like you go into all the other stores now, it's all like white and bright, you know, backgrounds. Yeah. Like you feel like you're alive, you know, feel like you're in a funeral home or something. But I mean, it was fun for where I worked there. And yes, like I showed you, I got a lot of the stuff that was going to be thrown away for those banners and everything, the Mortal Kombat 1 and 2 and Street Fighter 2.
Those are so nice. And they got to be really rare too, because...
Yeah, it makes you wonder, because, I mean, if those people that just threw them away, they're gone. So I don't know how many of those, survived. But I can't even check. I tried to do eBay searches and never comes up because, like you said, maybe a lot of people don't have them. Well, let me say, JSP just joined us. What's up, JSP? We have not mentioned Circuit City yet, but I do remember getting some games later on through Circuit City also before they went away. They used to have some really good deals.
Yeah, there's so many... Like, I know that KB Toys is apparently coming back, and I remember buying a bunch of video games from there.
Good deals there, too, because that's what's good is sometimes when there wasn't a game that sold really well at whatever certain store. I love seeing it when it had that $9.99 sticker, you know, and it was originally $49. Like, oh, yes. So KB had some little jackpot items, too.
Yeah, and it was also because at Toys R Us, you know, they just had the cover and you'd have to get the ticket to take it and everything. But going into KB, they had those big display cases with everything in them. So you could go in and be like, oh, they got that game.
Yeah. I like that too. Yeah, I miss KB. And if they do return, I hope it can come back and feel like the old days. But let me grab another one before we pass it back to you. Now, I showed you Batman Returns earlier. And I played many. I mean, believe me, I played many, but I've always talked about this. I'm going to mention it now. Not Streets of Rage 1, not Streets of Rage 3, but Streets of Rage 2. This is the greatest side-scrolling beat-em-up that I have ever played. I love Final Fight. I played that too. I love the Turtles games. I love the X-Men arcade games, everything. But this game first, there's four different people you choose. I mean, there's a lot of special moves that you can use in the game, but they have a lot of difficulty settings, from easy to normal to hard, hardest, and then mania level, because you always want to test your skills. That mania level is one hell of a thing to go through, especially by yourself. But, I mean, you can do it. I mean, I've done it, but I'm saying when you do it with somebody else, it's even more fun. But this is the game that just got everybody in my neighborhood. We had everybody coming over to my mom's all the time when we'd start playing Street Race. I mean, really, it was like a party, and it would go on. It went on for over a year, almost 2 years. Everybody come over all the time to play this. All the neighborhood kids, and my mom's playing with them too. It's like, why is this game so damn addicting? And then they eventually packaged in with Sega Genesis. And my mom was never into side-scrolling fighting games. She got into this. And my sister, who absolutely hates and cannot stand video games, she bought a Genesis to get Streets of Rage 2 because she liked playing. I was like, what is this, drugs? This is like, you know, it's like video game crack.
And that's like, Streets of Rage 2 is where they sort of perfected it, because I think I remember you telling me before when Streets of Rage 3 came out, you weren't as into it as you were with the second one.
That's a good memory you have. This is when I was almost talking about earlier. Things could look the same but don't feel the same, and sometimes they look different and play different, but something about the mechanics of part three was off. It felt like it was sped up or something. Like they kind of tried to speed up the animation or something. Like there's the little character Skate. He's the young kid of the game. Like you could come up and skate up on somebody, you grab him by the face, then you flip over on their back, and he's small and he was on their back, and he'd start punching and going, and it had the sound effect. Well, when it came to Streets of Rage 3, he'd go real quick, he'd flip on his back, he'd go, and it was like, wait, what? Where was that hard-hitting sound and more of the animated punches? It was just sped up, like, de-de-de-de-boom. I was like, and just the way they moved around and the flow, something for me was ruined when they made Streets of Rage 3, and I was so damn upset because we were so pumped. And yeah, then nobody was playing in the neighborhood. My mom, we weren't going to Streets of Rage 3. We just bought Part 2 right back out.
Well, speaking of games that improved on the original, but what followed after was not as good until probably a couple games after that. Twisted Metal 2?
I did not play part 2. No, I don't think I did play 2. I don't think
really?
I played three, because they had a three. Didn't they have three also?
Yeah, they after two, because this was developed by Single Track. After that, I don't exactly. I want to say, like, Single Track got absorbed into what became 989 Studios, and they came out with Twisted Metal 3, and I played it, and I'm just like, this sucks. And then I came out with Part 4, and it was just worse. And then the developers from Single Track that left when 989 absorbed them got back together, and that's when Twisted Metal Black came out, which is fantastic. But this is a game I played the hell out of when I got my PlayStation.
Yeah, I never played two. What were some of the great like elements, that was upgraded from part one, would you say, when they made two?
Definitely the control. There's more characters. Obviously, the graphics had improved. The stages themselves, because it's I want to say, like, because it just says Twisted Metal 2 on the box, but on the title screen, it's Twisted Metal 2. I want to say it says World Tour at the bottom, because each of the stages are different places. Yeah, it's actually got them listed here. We got the Amazon, Los Angeles, New York, Holland, Paris, Moscow, Hong Kong, and Antarctica.
Okay.
And there were a lot of dynamics in some of the levels, like Antarctica. Like, you're just all on a big sheet of ice, but over time, like, chunks of them start falling down into the water, so it's like the map starts to get smaller. So the just lots of that's the biggest improvement. And then it also switched, because in the first game, the cutscenes were all like the live action stuff, and from here it switched to like this really cool art style that I guess maybe it was a little bit darker too than the first one. I'm
Okay,
trying
when
to
you said
remember, like,
cutscenes, you
some of
said
the
they went
ending.
from
What was that?
you said they changed the cutscenes from live action to like an art style. What did you mean, like computer animated or computer generated, or what did they do?
Well, I'm thinking in the first game, I'm trying to remember the first game, like, the I want to say it was all like people in costumes were doing all that. And then in the set, it was just like a hand-drawn art style in the second.
Oh, I got you.
I'm
I
trying
got you.
to I can't really think of anything style-wise that I could compare it to. But yeah, it was just like hand-drawn animation.
Okay, all right. No, I never played two. It's one that I probably eventually will have to try to see if I can get to. Now, this is another Genesis game. This one is Shining Force for the Sega Genesis, and this isn't your typical other. Okay, how some of the role playing games, like we said, Final Fantasy and Phantasy Star, you're going across the map, boom, creatures pop up. Shining Force is one of those strategy turn. It's a strategy role-playing game. To one where it's like there was Dark Wizard, Dragon Force, these in Final Fantasy Tactics, one to where you're set into a situation and they're all like you're moving bit by bit. It's like a battle strategy type
Yeah,
thing.
real-time
And
strategy.
yeah, real time. Yeah. So you have to get set up in a certain thing and then you hated it. Sometimes you made your movement, everybody after they did their movements, here come the evil warriors, and sometimes they would get in a position where they had an archer to where they just reached this one stupid spot and then they could reach it like damn it. But there was hidden people that you would find throughout this game. You could name your characters, anything you wanted. But there was like ninjas in the game, samurais. But it wasn't like going through town and just talking and meeting people. Sometimes they were hidden. Like I remember, you would go up to a like during the ba actually during the battle, you'd walk, and if you got to a weird part of like one of like let's say the background houses or something, and you were just standing there, and then suddenly the talk option picked. You know, up here, and you're like, talk, and you hit talk, and I was like, I am Musashi, you have found me, or something. There was like a ninja or a samurai, he's like, I will join your party, like, hell yes! So you could get a lot of, and you build them up, of course, and you build them up from one kind of level to another level, like the way they're a warrior, the way they're armored up. Shining Force was just addicting, which led to quickly, there was a Shining Force for the Sega CD. Which this was taking some of the other games, I believe it might have been from the Game Gear, and putting them onto this. I thought it was, if I could, I can't remember exactly right, but either way, Shining Force for the Sega CD, that was another one because I was like, should I do two Shining Forces? Because you figured for the Sega CD, I'll be bringing up a lot of others, like I had to do it. There's my cheap pop. You knew it was coming.
Yeah.
This, I just showed Tyler, I said, Tyler, I said, I'm gonna send you a link on YouTube for what part of it? Who was okay? Well, there's somebody that did amazing soundtrack for the game. Let me see. It says featuring original hit from Eric Martin of Mr. Big. He must have been the one that did the one that is screaming on the title screen, "Save the City" or whatever. But the Amazing Spider-Man versus the Kingpin. It's better than the Genesis because some people thought, well, is it just a Genesis game turned and converted to Sega CD? It's like, no, they changed up level design. The actual animation is smoother with Spider-Man, him crawling on stuff. The ways you have him crawling on the buildings is a lot easier. The ways you get your web fluid, the ways you get your health back. But it's one of the first games to where you had, like cutscenes. And that's what was cool about the Sega CD. They gave you, while it might not have been the most amazing thing compared to today's standards, back then to see any slight cartoon animation on a video game, you're freaking out. So they had original Spider-Man animated, clips in this game along with voice acting. So you felt like you got a good portion of this you're watching almost a cartoon. And what I posted about this the other day that is pretty ballsy for a game is it had a couple different endings. There's the one good ending where Mary Jane is being dropped slowly into a vat of acid. If you can defeat Kingpin in time without her going into the acid, you save her, you have a good ending. There's also the other one where, as you're fighting him, if you're not quick enough, you'll see her. She gets lowered into the acid, she gets killed, and you beat him, and she's dead. And he goes up to the vat of acid in a cartoon scene and seeing the rope. And then the last one is if she dies and Kingpin beats you, he puts you both up there and he lowers you there. That's if he kills you before she gets lowered into the acid. He's gonna hang, string you up, and they show an animated scene, and he's like, "Goodbye, Spider-Man." And Kingpin hits a button and lowers them into the acid. I was like, "When did you ever see your heroes getting killed in a video game?"
Man, the cover of that's really nice too.
It's awesome. It's an awesome ass cover. And like I said, you'd have to do some YouTube search after we're done and just watch some of the cutscenes. But I never, like I said, you sure didn't see it in a real cartoon on TV, but to see an animated cartoon and hear it voiced and seeing the hero getting killed along with Mary Jane, I was like, I think that might have been a first from back then. I don't think I remember nothing like that, for Spider-Man or video games.
Yeah, maybe it's just where, Sega CD. How did you feel about all of the add-ons that Sega kept doing? You had CD, you had 32X. Was that stuff that you always bought into, no
Just
matter
instant.
what? Or,
Well,
was it a thing where it's just too much at a certain point?
no, I'm glad you said that because I remember at the time, when Sega had, upgrade this and like, it's like, okay, you got the Sega, then you get the Sega CD to hook on. That one I didn't even think twice about because I said, oh my God, we're going to have something that's CD based that we can play, and it's not a computer, but we can play it with video games. Heck yeah, because we weren't seeing it on any of the, I mean, we had Turbo Duo with TurboGrafx Turbo Duo, which they had something, and which theirs was great. I'm surprised I should have brought some of those with me, but that'll be another
Yeah,
time.
I'm kind of jealous of that. That is a system that like I wish that I owned.
It was a great system. But no, so they did the Sega CD. I loved it because they had amazing freaking games. Then they did what I always considered to be one of the bonehead moves that started leading to people being pissed at Sega. Because I worked, this is when I was working at Software Etc. So I remember the whole thing when it happened. They were going to release the 32X. And they said, turn your 16-bit machine into a 32-bit machine. And then months later was going to be the release of Sega Saturn. I had so many customers coming in there. And I would always say, oh, would you like to pre-order the Sega Saturn? Because we'd ask and get names down on the list. That's how we do stuff. Everybody was saying, nope. I'm gonna get the 32X and then I'll have the Sega Saturn. I was like, no, that's not gonna be a Saturn. No, they said it's gonna turn it into a 32-bit machine so you'll be able to play your Saturn games on it. I said, no, I said, that's not it. I said, this is just supposed to be some little slight little upgrade to have cartridges that might be a little better looking, and then the CD bases where things might look a little better. I said, this is not gonna become the Saturn. They said, no, just trust me, I'm gonna buy this, don't need the Saturn. They bought it, and then when people found out they couldn't play it on there, and then they seen the Saturn, they got pissed. They were like, well, see, you guys shouldn't have did that. I wanted to get the Sega Saturn, but I thought this was going to upgrade it. And then people were like, I'm done with Sega. I'm not getting any more of their systems. I'm not upgrading. Forget it. And they were pissed. And it did exactly what I thought. And I hated the 32X. That's the one system I got. but that was for specific games like Knuckles Chaotix. Like, they had some original games, but any of the ones that were slight upgrades, like their WWF Raw, their Night Trap, and I think Sewer Shark, and whatever other games, someone's like, I don't care. I just don't want it. I have it on Sega CD. I don't need the slight increase of graphics and a little more clarity. So that pissed me off. The 32X, and it went away quickly. It was a damn dumb-headed, boneheaded move. And in fact, what's funny is, speaking of Spider-Man, the last game they released for the Sega, or I mean, for the 32X before it went away, I think, was Spider-Man. And I can't remember how limited that was, but if you try to find that on eBay, the prices are ridiculous because they're so rare of anybody having a copy of the Spider-Man for 32X. And that was their last game when it went away.
So
So.
I it's didn't that also have its own little power hookup as well? The 32X?
Oh yeah, it had another, yeah, it was another, yeah, I had all these power supplies, like the power supply for this, the power supply for that. When you hooked up your Sega to your Sega CD in 32X, you had this monster system with I don't know how many hookups. You better get one of those, what do they call them? Those strips, power strips. So
Yeah,
that
the
way you could
surge
play.
protectors.
Yeah, there's just too many things to hook up into that. Yeah, I wish they didn't do that damn 32X.
Yeah. See, my experience with Sega CD was very minimal. My friend had gotten it, so the only games that I played on Sega CD, obviously Sewer Shark, because that was like the pack end for it, and Jurassic Park.
They and believe me, see, I could tell, and I don't think you were probably too much of a role player. I don't know if you liked role playing games a
Yeah,
lot.
no, I because during this time, we're talking like ages 4 to probably about 12. So for me, it was like I was into the sports games for a while, and then occasionally bouncing over between stuff like G.I. Joe, Turtles, et cetera, et cetera. I didn't really the first time I dabbled in a role playing game was at my friend's house. His cousin had brought over a copy of Chrono Trigger.
All great game.
Yeah, and we started that was one of those games where it was all three of us packed in a room for like the entire weekend, just taking turns going through it.
Yeah, that was a great game. I love
I
that.
think I, after that one weekend, I don't think I played it again because his cousin didn't come over that much and he took
Yeah,
the game back with him. But the first real RPG, I know it's gonna because everyone it's
you're gonna say
universally
Zelda?
loved. I saw it in your picture. Final Fantasy VII was the first one that I really played on my own and got into.
That no, and that's yes, I'll get to that in a second because that was a great game. Yeah, it's like I said, it's unfortunate because people, a lot of people are realizing how great the Sega CD was now, but the emulate, when they do emulation, I don't know how great it is, so sometimes they're in search for the originals to play. But they had, I mean, like there was Lunar the Silver Star, Lunar Eternal Blue, there was the Shining Force, there was, they had a Dark Wizard. They had a lot of amazing role-playing games, again, with animation and cartoon scenes and whatever, but they had amazing Sonic CD. The other game that was one, it was always one of my favorites, was Batman Returns on also the Sega CD. Now, some people would say that was simply just Batman Returns for the Sega Genesis, poured it over to Sega CD, which they did with a lot of things, but they would try to always improve at least the music, because some of the music on the Genesis for certain games kind of sucked. So it always had great music. The animation usually was never, graphics weren't usually increased, but for Batman Returns, it had something added that was even better. It had the 3D drive-in scenes where you could be like in the Batmobile and the, like on the water flying. I mean, but it was so damn cool and had really, awesome music that sucked you in, that was pumped up. So I was like, hell, I could say I bought it just for those 3D driving levels. If people want to say, why get it? I'm like, hey, it's got the driving levels. Then if you want, it's got the side scrolling platform and you can play them together or separate. So either way, it's like you weren't losing when you were getting Batman Returns for the Sega CD, because it was, like I said, it was an epic game.
Yeah, I really wish sometimes that I had been a little more into the Sega consoles as a kid, or if I would have like begged my parents more to get me the Sega stuff as well. But or I would have been older too to maybe appreciate and jump into the RPGs that you got to play, because I'm really jealous of just the few things that you've shown.
You would have loved them. I mean, there's no doubt you would have loved them. But, you know, sometimes, like you said, it's just that's how it was with somebody played one thing over another. But, yes, the final one is that I'll show is Final Fantasy. And everybody's probably wondering why am I talking about Dreamcast and, you know, that. I didn't want to bring all that up, too. I might tell a quick story later. But, you know, Final Fantasy VII, this was the game when they ever started to come to the new consoles. And they had the epic role-playing game. Yes, it was some Final Fantasy VII. It was graphics we never really ever experienced.
Yeah.
Summon your GFs. I mean, when you'd, you know, summon, you know, Bahamut, whoever it might be, or any of those characters that would be summoned into the game. So the graphics were mind-blowing. And it was just a very long game. And also a game that had the saddest thing that I've ever seen in a video game. Not many times do you almost feel like crying, but when he was laying Aerith, or Aerith, however you want to say her name, spelled two different ways, but when she died and he walked into that water and was holding her and then let her go down and she sank into the water, it's like, oh my God, you know, that hits you. It hits your heart. Yeah. When you're involved in the game, it's like, she's dead.
Yeah.
You know, he's watching her die. That was the saddest damn moment in video game history for me.
And then it just immediately turns into anger, and you're like, you know what? I have to beat Sephiroth now.
Exactly. But, I mean, I'm sure when you've seen that moment, you were like it too. It's like, man, I guess you don't have a heart if you can't feel for that moment when that happened. That was, woo. I don't even know if I can think of anything nowadays that does. Of course, I don't play nowadays games, but this that did it there. Watching her die, it's like, damn. But, yes. When you got to fight Sephiroth at the end, talk about the most badass end boss. They come in with that music, you know, Sephiroth, or a dun, dun, dun. You know, that music. I was like, oh, shit. Now, that's a soundtrack that I'd listen to, is the theme for Sephiroth. Whew, nothing beats that.
Yeah. And it's, I imagine you probably eventually got Knights of the Round to use in that game, right?
Oh, yes, Knights of the Round. And I remember I mimicked it. And I killed him because I just had it once happen, and then it came out again, and he was dead because he put on a hell of a fight. But if you mimicked Knights of the Round Table, get him just in two shots, just like that.
Yeah, and there were so many side things to do, too. Like, when you get to that arcade, like, I just made a save specifically just so I could load it up and just play that stuff whenever I wanted to.
Yeah, fun-ass game, so many cool-ass features. That's a boy. You'd get into, like, especially when they'd summon some of them, you know, like when you were summoned Bahamut, and it's like, you know, we'd always joke, like, okay, who's gonna stand there for like 3 minutes and wait for somebody to hit him? But, you know, but either way, there's summoned, he's coming from all throughout the cosmos. I even love Diablos, like when all those bats would form up into that giant ball and he'd come out and boom, come. Damn, even something as simple as Doom Train was pretty cool too, to get hit by Doom Train. Didn't use them a lot, but it was like they sure put the effort into making these GFs. Freaking nuts.
Yeah, and I want to say I'm looking forward to the remake that they're doing for it. Obviously, I know that, you know, they're changing it a lot and making it similar to how the Final Fantasies have played now, and I think the last one I touched was Final Fantasy 13.
Wait, you said the remake in Part 7, but they're going to change the game mechanics or something?
Well, you know, it's not going to be like, from what it looks like, it's not going to be your traditional turn-based. It's going to be a lot more of, like, you know, third-person physically moving in the space.
I wish they went, you know, like I said, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with those, you know, massive online role-playing games or whatever, the ones that where you can join with people and play it online. But at least give an option. I mean, I would have loved to seen Final Fantasy VII get a remake, but remake meaning just with intense graphics and something else, and maybe adding, you know, attacks. But the gameplay, I love the turn-based feature. It's a feel and a flow of a game. It doesn't make it less than a game, but I know they've done that with a lot of role-playing games. They got rid of the turn-based feature and made it to where you're in control more, and it's just a different type of game, you know? And nothing wrong with it, but Final Fantasy's always been, for at least me, it's the turn-based.
Yeah. No, I mean, same here. Even though I didn't jump in until Part 7, you know, I went back and played 3 on Super Nintendo, well, 6, whatever. And that's the other thing, too. It's funny how they got away with just like, oh, well, we're just going to, in America, we're going to number these weird, and actually,
yeah,
Part 3 that you're playing on Super Nintendo is actually Final Fantasy 6.
That yeah, they had so many confusing things, like said when bringing one thing and then changing the other because we didn't get this, the others for the regular Nintendo or whatever. It's like your head explodes just trying to figure the order of them. But I did have a question about to talk a little bit, and I'll do it quickly about some of my contests that I played.
Yeah,
But here,
no,
this.
because I always want to hear about it. Tyler's the one that always just gets up and he's like, I don't want to listen to shit anymore.
He's like, here we go. Joe's gonna stroke his ego and talk about all the contests he played. But no, I did have somebody just at least mention them. Okay, first one real quick that I did play was The Amazing Spider-Man. Now, in the game, you would have to go through all the levels and find the hidden comics throughout the game, which they were randomly put in different spots every time you played, so it wasn't one set pattern. These comics would be scattered, but you had to get all of them. Save Mary Jane, beat quick, excuse me, Kingpin, in the quickest you can. Now, this was in a days when I wasn't really thinking I seriously am gonna win. I was just like, hell, let me try to do as quickly as I can before this deadline and send it in. And it was about a month later. Hold on a second. Jake Juggalo in the chat room said, "And here we go." Unless he meant "and here we go" for Joker. But anyways, so I did it, and a month later, I got this letter, and it was from Little King and Company, and I still have the letter and all the things because I scanned it to make sure I had my other copies, my original copies. But it said, "Congratulations, you have won second place in the Amazing Spider-Man contest. Send this, fill it in, and you will get your leather jacket, your Spider-Man leather jacket." It was like a $500 leather jacket. I was like, "Oh my God, I've gone bananas at the house. I'm showing everybody, my mom and dad." I was like, "Is this really happening?" So I filled it out, sent it. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, how did this contest come to pass? Was this something that you saw like in a magazine? Like how?
No, in the actual thing itself. See, that was the thing that was good
Oh,
about
okay.
when, but yeah, when you bought these games right when they came out, you got lucky with a lot of them because a lot of them mentioned contests, but it's right there in the instruction manual. I think it said, hold on a second. Excuse me while I whip this out. There, that's my blazing salad.
So, like, what did you have to, did you have to like take a screen, like take a picture of the TV or something and like send it in to them
Yep,
or a
see
video or, okay.
that's the old days. We had to do the old Polaroids, but I think it was right towards the back is where they mentioned in the back it was the Spider-Man Scavenger Hunt contest to win big prizes. And the first prize was an electric guitar signed by Eric Martin, Mr. Big, who did the sound, excuse me, soundtrack for the game. And then the Spider-Man jacket, which the value was, oh, I'm sorry, $200 for it. But either way, when it's made just for this contest, that
Yeah.
means a value could skyrocket for somebody who's a Spider-Man collector. And God, when was it? Oh, I'm trying to see the if it had the deadline.
Does it
Let's
have
see.
anything for third place?
Third place, we have to see. The third place was Game Gear Core System. The fourth place prizes was Marvel Masterworks hardcover book. The fifth place prizes were Marvel Comic Amazing Spider-Man 1 year subscription. Then they had sixth place prize was a t-shirt, and the seventh place prizes were milestone reprints. But they gave you until March. Oh yeah, you had to have it mailed in by March 31st, 1994, and then they
Hey,
gave
and
you.
today is March 31st.
No shit! Oh my God, is that not bizarre? Nathan, that's freaked the hell. I have not looked at this in years.
Wait,
That's
so
like destiny.
94, huh? So that was
24 years ago.
yeah, 24 years ago.
That's like destiny. Is that not the spookiest shit? I read it and then didn't even realize until you said what you just said. Oh my God. Thanks for saying that, man. That makes this even cooler that we did this episode. This is like it was like destiny.
Yeah, it was meant to happen.
It was. I wasn't gonna read this until you said, "Hey, Joe, what's?" Oh my God. Well, wow. I'm kind of floored right now. That's kind of spooking me. I get chills sometimes when weird shit like that happens. So, anyways, I played it, and a month later, big box came in the mail. I got home from school, opened that up, and it's in the closet here, and it's right over there in that closet. I'm not gonna go grab it, but I took that jacket out. I just wore it once to look in the mirror. I was like, how cool is this? I was like, I'm never going to wear this out in public and wear it out and get it worn or nothing. So it stayed nice and covered, preserved, and it's in that damn closet over there. Still
Man,
got that jacket.
that's
Coolest
awesome.
ass. Yeah, it's the coolest thing I've ever won. And I'm so glad you just wow, that's cool. I gotta do that. Well, okay. Well, then we fast forward to kind of other contests. And they had It was on the Sega Saturn, was Shining Wisdom. And it was a role-playing game. And you had to... Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I did tell you I had to take a physical picture of that and send it in to them. That's how I did it for Spider-Man. But, well, yeah. So, Shining Wisdom, the contest was first place or grand prize was $10,000. First place was a subscription to Electronic Gaming Monthly. So talk about a weird jump from $10,000 to a subscription. What you had to do in this game was, it was a role-playing game, almost like that overhead look of like the original Legend of Zelda. But you had to go through and find 100% of the items, because it lets you know your percentage of all the items you found. You had to find all 100% of the items, beat this game as quickly as you can, then take a picture, send it in. So I did it. And this one was probably about 2 months later, maybe. I got a phone call. I thought I was being pranked, because it said, like, it was this woman named Linda from Working Design. She said, "This is Linda from Working Design." So I was like, yeah, I was like, okay, is this my friend, or is this my sister Kelly's friend? You know, I thought I was being pranked. She's like, "No, we got your picture, and this is Linda from Working Design." It's like, okay, so what's going on? She said, "Just want to let you know, you're tied with the other person for the grand prize of $10,000. I said, "What?" I was like, "Well, I mean, am I winning? Do I get it?" She said, "Nope, now you got to do something different." She said, "Since you're tied, you're going to have to record yourself playing the game." And I'm thinking, I said, "Well, I got to get camera on myself." She said, "No, just get a VCR on the tape, switch it over to channel 3, whatever, and record your gameplay." I said, "Oh, okay." And she said, "But here are the two things you cannot do." I said, "Okay." She says, "One," she says, "you cannot pause the VCR tape during recording at any time to make sure there's no cheating or splicing." I said, "Okay," because I didn't even know what the hell she meant when she was saying that. And she said, "Two, you can't even save the game." And this is a role-playing game, mind you, that takes hours.
Yeah.
But you, if you're really, if you had a pattern, knew what you're doing, you could do it in a couple hours. She said, "Also, you cannot save the game. You got to play straight through." And she said, "I suggest you make sure you go to the bathroom before you start, because you're going to be stuck there a while." I said, "Okay, all right, thanks." So I sat there and was playing through it. There's one level in the game that I always hated. When you're going up this one kind of tree, like going up levels, picture playing Zelda, and there's a stairways, and you're on the next level, next level. Well, Shining Wisdom, I'd get so high in this one tree, there was this one spot where you'd run and jump a giant hole. Randomly, maybe 1 out of 10 times, rarely would happen, a stupid bat would go flying by. You couldn't attack when you do your super jump. So yeah. If you got hit, boom, all the way down the hole. That's where I always would save, is before a jump. But I didn't. She said you couldn't, so I didn't. Sure enough, I ran, jumped, boom, got hit, flew down the hole. Cost me 2 minutes of time. Now, let's fast forward again. Beat the game. I actually did it quicker than my first time. I sent in the tape. A week later, she calls back. "Joe, just want to let you know, got your tape and everything." But she said, "There's one problem." I was like, "One problem?" I said, "What's that?" She's like, "Well, at that one part when you saved," she said, "it looks like there was a little jump on the screen. So you might have to do it again, because it looked like there was a little part, you know, of it jumping where you saved." I said, "Okay." I said, "Wait, what did you say?" And she said, "At that part when you saved." I said, "Wait, hold on a second." I said, "I never saved in the game." I said, "You told me I couldn't save or anything." She's like, "Wait a second. Hold on a second. I'll put you on, put on hold." Put me on hold, got back on. Then she said, "Oh," she said, "that wasn't you that saved." She said, "That was the other guy that's playing." She said, "Well, thank you." I said, No. I said, "You're going to stay on the phone with me." I said, "So he saved?" And she said, "Yeah." I said, "You told me I couldn't save and I couldn't pause the game, but I could not save in the game either. So I couldn't save in the game or pause the VCR tape." She was like, "I don't remember saying that." And I knew it. Then I was pissed. I was like, I said, "Who's the guy running the contest?" I said, "I want to talk to the president of your company, whoever it is. I want to talk to them right now." She said, "Let me put you on hold." Put me on hold. 5 minutes later, she gets back on the phone. She's like, "Well, I'm sorry. He's busy in a meeting. Won't be able to talk." I said, "You know what?" I said, "I just found out." I said, "This contest is rigged." I said, "You're not going to let me play." I said, "But you're going to let this other guy play again." I said, "You know I could beat him." I said, "You know I'd get a better time." She's like, "I'm sorry. Just can't have you do that again." And I just hung up. I was that pissed. Now, here's the thing. When the final results came, this guy beat me by 1 minute. And Nathan, I could have saved 2 minutes from that hole. Here's the other thing about the contest. In the rules for the Shining Wisdom manual, it says, when you're playing this game and for the contest, no enhanced controller devices are allowed. No turbo controllers. They did an interview with the guy who won by coincidence, who was in the same home city. He's from the city where the contest was being held. They interviewed him. The first thing he said, he's like, first, I used my controller that was a turbo controller. Then I set the options like this, and he's going on and on. I was like, again, rigged. You're not supposed to use a turbo controller, and this guy did, and he won. While Joe, to go super fast, I would hit X, Y. Picture this. You talk about a player that was beyond insanity when I was playing this. ABC is how you toggle between attacking and switching your weapons. X, Y, Z, they weren't even listed in the manual. But with some games, as you know, if you screw around, you'd see something happen. If I did this with X, Y, Z, his feet went super fast, and it was like using turbo, but it was with XYZ. You're allowed to do that. So I am piano tapping XYZ and with my thumb toggling between A, B, and C and controlling. That's how I'm playing the game for 2 hours straight.
And
No
then
doubt.
you didn't even get anything for it.
And I
So
ended up getting the next underprize of a subscription to Electronic Gaming Monthly. It was the biggest screw job in the world. That was mine to win. I was the $10,000 winner. And I always tell everybody this story because it was the biggest screw job that I ever had in a video game. There's another one coming up. There's two others, but that one was the worst because I should have had $10,000 instead. I got a subscription to Electronic Gaming Monthly.
what would you have done with that 10 grand?
Jesus, I mean, I don't know. I would have probably lost my shit. I don't know. You imagine being young and having $10,000. I mean, you'd be
Oh, I mean,
listening.
you weren't thinking about it when you sent the tape in.
No, I just kept thinking, I'm gonna get $10,000. I'm at $10,000. I don't have to this kind of
Would have been
money. So.
daydreaming. I would have been like, man, I want a Turtles arcade cabinet.
It's just for me to have that would have been nuts. Because, like I said, it would take me like almost a month and a half too to save up for video games. So, of course, I probably bought video games, but yeah, that probably would have helped with some other things. But so that was that one. The next one. Yes, JSP, worse than the Montreal screw job with Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. Yes, this was the what do you want to call it? The Sega Saturn screw job. I don't know, the Shining Wisdom screw job. It was worse than that. So then there was Donkey Kong Country. This was at Blockbuster Video, and it was sponsored by GamePro. And they had a cartridge that was specifically made for the contest as you walked into the store that had these level set up in a certain way, and I think they gave you 3 minutes to play as quickly as you can to see how many points you could get. Now, the Blockbuster video pamphlet, along with the GamePro magazine, told you there was only two ways to get points in the game. And it specifically said it, only two ways. One, getting off the level obviously as quickly as you can and gathering bananas along the way. So they give you two times to play. I had it set to where I'd play on day one. And the last day of the contest, I came in there on day one and I just had this pattern down in my head, and bam, I had the top score. I had it all the way to the last day of that tournament. So I walked in last day to say, okay, well, let's see if I can maybe get a couple more points. And I seen this guy that had me by maybe 400 something. I couldn't remember, it was a good amount. And I sat there and I was like, this doesn't make sense. There's no way. I know the pattern of this game. I said, there is no way. So I sat there and just started playing, like, what the fuck? And sure enough, I maybe got 20 points more, or however it was with the bananas. It was like almost nothing. I said, how the hell? I even asked the guy who was running the contest because they were standing there watching you after you're done to write the time. It's like, I said, how the hell could that guy have got that score? I said, I'm not being arrogant. I said, but I did this the quickest possible. I said, I got the bananas and got out quicker than anybody can. I was like, how could that have happened? He was like, well, you get the bananas, you get off the levels, and you spell Kong. I said, you spell Kong? I said, I could have spelled Kong anytime I wanted while I was running. I said, the contest didn't say you could spell Kong. I said, how does he know that? He's like, well, that was my buddy. He's like, and I know you could do it with Kong. So I let him know and he got it. I said, well, let me play again. He's like, nope, that was your last time. And so what did I get? I got a consolation prize of some Ultra Flair X-Men cards, a stack of X-Men cards. And that contest would have sent you off to California to play in a big tournament for $25,000, I think, back in the day.
So Joe, at this point, you should have $35,000.
I should be $35,000 rich at this point, but not. And to add to that, I could have had a gold trophy. I'll mention my quick two ones. I walked into a Funko Land it was like 5 days before they were doing a NASCAR 97 or 98 release, and I didn't get into NASCAR games. But the guy said, hey, want to take a run around this track? If you have the quickest time, but by the end of the day, you can win this already. You won't have to wait a week. I said, sure. So I sat there and went around the track at the quickest time. He said, well, if by 4 o'clock you're the fastest person, we'll give you a call on the phone. Called me on the phone at 4 o'clock, said, you won. So I won a nonsense game without even trying and sold it to my NASCAR buddy friend for $35. Then I won the crazy taxi contest at, what was it called? Media Play. Yeah, Jesus, Media Play. So I won the crazy taxi thing, and all you won was a shirt and a crazy taxi, a copy of Crazy Taxi. So that was cool. But now the last one, my last story, my last picture at Sicily story. Here came Sonic Adventure for the Sega Dreamcast. Came out on $9.99. And this had a contest that was going on for months to where you played Sonic Adventure. And if you went through the levels the quickest by the end of this whole contest, which included every country in the world that had a Sega Dreamcast. So you had your VMUs. You could go online with the Dreamcast back in that day. So I'd go online. I could see the top scores. There's people from Mexico, Argentina, Japan, China, Germany, everywhere you can think of. And I mean hundreds of thousands of names. Well, as about a month is left into this tournament, there's a guy in Japan who's number one. Because they had a six-month head start, by the way, because remember, the Dreamcast was there for 6 months. So that's that makes sense. So number one right there in the world. Right there at number two, Joe Amato in the United States. And this is hundreds of thousands of names. And I was gaining. I was starting to get my time quicker and quicker. And the contest was giving you a solid gold Sonic trophy, a solid silver, and a solid bronze. Those were the three prizes that were going to be awarded to the winner. Just about maybe under a month left into this tournament, in the chat rooms that you could go into your VMU to show, suddenly people were talking about, I got the Mad Catz controller. I got the Mad Catz controller. Because I think it was Mad Catz. It was this third-party controller. They said, it makes you run quicker. Because suddenly people were getting these quick scores on these levels that really did not make sense. They said, all you do is, on the analog controller at that time, when you hold forward, you know, hold forward to have Sonic run, because it was a 3D game, remember? They said, it'll actually look like he warps, like he's running through time. And I was like, that doesn't make sense. I've played with turbo controllers before, and there's a button you hold that can make you run fast. I said, how can it speed up the game graphics? But I sure enough went and bought this. Let's see if this happens. Level starts, I hold forward, he went, whoosh. I mean, he just, you think Sonic was fast before, he went, whoosh. So quick that there's the 3D levels. Let's say the end of the level was above you, but you have to go through 3 minutes of crap and twists and turns to come back around to come that way. Some of those levels, right when it said go and you hit up and jump, Sonic would jump up right through the floor into the ground, and in 1 second, he was at the end on some of these stupid levels. Because of that stuff and that stupid controller, they said we have to cancel the contest because now we can't gauge who's really doing something and who's not. Even though that's obvious, on the others they weren't sure, they canceled the contest, so nobody got anything. And that was an amazing feeling because I remember recording that on a VCR tape to show everybody that number one in the United States, number two in the world, out of hundreds of thousands of people in the entire world. That would have been the most amazing thing if I could have won. But because of that stupid controller, ended the contest.
Joe's been screwed out of so many things.
Yes. So you wonder why sometimes I babble about the Sega CD Spider-Man thing so much. At least, damn it, that was some justice. I got one thing, but the others were all screw jobs.
See, I never entered any like contests or even any of the local stuff like tournaments. I was never as confident in my gaming ability because every time there would always be someone else better. The only story of satisfaction I have is I think I may have told this before on another episode, but you know, when I was a kid, especially when you go to the arcade, you know, there's this older teenager that will come up and just like, especially fighting games, drop in their money, kick your ass, and
right,
yeah. So I'm at a local Walmart, and NBA Jam Tournament Edition had just come out.
Okay,
and there's this guy, and he's sitting there, and it's basically kind of like we're in an arcade, and it's a fighting game because it's like, all right, this guy lost, and he was just like beating everybody. And I show up, and I'm like, oh, I just want to play the game. And he's
Did you
sitting,
show up with your sunglasses? Did you take them off like that? No, put them in your pocket?
No, but he's sitting there, like, kind of just talking shit, because at this point, he's already beaten, like, five or six people in a row or something. So there's, like, a little crowd there. And I just kind of destroy him. and he doesn't know what to do. He's like, here's this kid, because man, I was probably like 9, 10 years old.
And oh wow.
He had to have been at least like, I don't know, 17 or older, possibly. Wow. And you just see him with his friend, and he just huffs and puffs and walks away. And after I like did that, I just like put the controller down and just let anyone else play. Like, I didn't really care. Like, I did what I wanted to do. I just wanted to play the game. Like, it wasn't a thing of like, I have to beat this guy. I just popped up and he was all arrogant and I beat him. So that's really the only cool thing I have.
That's at least an awesome story, because I'll tell you what, even through all the stuff that I told you about me playing, I never did anything cocky, though. I was never like an arrogant person, or like when I play a fighting game, like, I guess I showed you. Oh, you ain't nothing. I never did. I just played and I was quiet. But you're right. There were some of those people that'd be in the arcade or playing the game systems in the stores, and they were like talking trash. And I guess that's why it felt good when you did beat them, because then it shut them up. It's like, you know, just be humble. Hell, if you win, you win. If you lose, you lose. But there's no sense of bragging about it. You know, but there was those people that would do that. Like, oh, I got you. Oh, yeah. Well, why don't you try that again? And yeah, the cockiness is something that I never liked, but I never did to anybody. I liked playing.
Yeah. Now, in the contest rules, because I want to ask you this when you're talking about Spider-Man, does it give you a thing of, because, you know, obviously, if you're using a Polaroid or, you know, whatever kind of camera, like there's going to be like a flash or something. Does it have anything in there? It's like, this is how you need to take a picture of your computer or your
TV screen. That's funny you say that, because I remember I did have a Polaroid, you know, ones that come spitting out. And every time I did the flash and had a glare, I was like, damn it. That is weird. You're bringing back memories, man. First, you had this freaky thing about the date here. But no, I'd actually have to take the camera and I would like bend a little bit like this and try to do it at an angle or something like that, or try to cover half the flash. But then sometimes it went dark. So I went through a ton of just wasted pictures until I finally got one. I was like, well, I think I can see that. And then when I got something good, I did it. That's funny you said it. But no, they didn't give any tips on how to take the pictures.
Huh. I don't think so. You would think that they would, because, you know, if you're not using a Polaroid, and imagine using another camera and having to, like, go get that film developed, and then when it's developed, like, it doesn't show up, you know? That would be the worst thing, is, like, you have that there.
Hey, wait, real quick. It was on The Shining Wisdom I took the pictures. That's weird. I just read it said to enter handprint your name, address, city, state, and zip code on the official entry form at the back of this manual. You must print the secret identification number found on the bottom of the screen at the end of the nightmare level, your time remaining, and your high score on your entry form. So there must have been a secret code that coincided with everything that you'd give them. Oh, so this one didn't do the picture. It was just Shining Wisdom. I, for some reason, thought I did a picture on this too.
Huh.
But it was just a secret number they gave you, because obviously you can only get it if you beat the game under those specifications. They would know and tie it in. So yeah, that's it. Nothing about a picture. I'm making sure I'm reading right now, but no picture. Huh. So Shining Wisdom that did the picture. Well, this one had an identification code, but yeah, either way, it was trying to position that damn camera either way.
So you mentioned before that you don't game anymore. When did that, like with newer stuff, when did that stop? Where was the cutoff point for you?
This is the craziest thing in the world, but it kind of really cut off when I was playing Shenmue on the Sega Dreamcast. And in this game, you could actually, like, it felt real life. Like, you're walking around the cities, you get a job, you're doing a forklift. And after I beat that game, I got a job working for that factory. And I'm using the forklift, and it was just bizarre. I'm like, oh my God, I'm doing what I did in Shenmue. And I told you that job just was physically exhausting, the amount of stuff I do. So I kind of like just started slowly getting out. Like, I'd play occasionally. Like, I won a, It was PlayStation 2. I think it was PlayStation 2. Wait, was it 2? I'm sitting there trying to think. No, wait. Okay, a PlayStation 2 I won at a Myers in a little raffle. You put your name in a thing and you put it in a thing, and then they drew out your name and you would win a system. And that's how I won. I think my PlayStation 2 was through Myers. So I played a little bit of that, but no, I didn't get any of the other. I didn't get a PlayStation 3, a 4, none of the other Xboxes. I haven't experienced none of it.
Would it be something that you would want to jump into again, or you just kind of?
I feel like I would be so. Like, I was great in the games in these days, but I don't think I'd be able to play them probably. Like, if there's the first person shooters, which I never got to really experience, I'd probably be horrible. I think I'd be terrible. And I don't know how time consuming they are because, between doing customs and other things, I don't know if I'd have time to play as much. I mean, if it wasn't too time consuming, but I think I'd be terrible. I really do. I don't think I'd be good at the new stuff, honestly. I
Has
mean,
there
it's just.
been anything that's come out that you've sort of heard about that's sort of like, oh, I would like to try that at least, or?
Yeah, the one thing, I mean, there was that Injustice fighting game, Injustice 2, they look great. And also that Friday the 13th game that they did that you could download to play on the PlayStation 4 and one of those Xboxes. I mean, to how they recreated it, and they had, I think, I couldn't remember if Tom Savini did like the special effects and the design look, and then they brought back, I don't know if it was Harry Manfredi or Manfredini, I'm saying his name wrong, who did the music. I thought they had a lot of people who were involved with the actual Friday the 13th movies working on that game, and Kane Hodder doing the modeling and motion capture for the Jason characters. But Higgins Havens, Haven, I think from Friday the 13th Part 3 was actually recreated. You could be in it. I mean, to be in the world of Friday the 13th as either Jason or the counselors, that's something I always thought would have been cool.
Yeah,
But
I bought a copy of that game and
okay.
I have yet to play it.
Oh, Jesus, maybe they should make that a priority. Try to give it a shot today, see somewhat how it is.
Yeah, I know that they added like a single player offline mode, because the main drawing point was like, well, it's going to be online and one person will play as Jason, everyone else will be the counselors and you're trying to survive. And I know there's been some issues with it, with people wanting to just like, I think they had to put in an option for friendly fire being turned off because people were just killing the other counselors and everything. Yeah, because that's the way it is now. But there
That would
is like a single player offline mode where you can play as Jason, I believe. I need to install it and check it out
yeah,
and get
do it
back
because
to you
that actually
about it.
sounds no, that does sound fun. JSP in the chat room mentioned he said that Jason Voorhees is a download character on Mortal Kombat X. I did hear that too, which that looked good. And just to let you know, JSP, when I first read that, I thought you said, Hey Joe, Jason Voorhees is a dick on Mortal Kombat X. I thought that's what he wrote first. I was like, wait, what? Because these eye holes will distort something. But I was like, oh, that's DLC, not
Yeah.
okay, I gotcha.
Yeah.
But no, so I guess that's been pretty much like I said, that those are the games I wanted to at least share to show what I remembered. I like I said, I loved so many others, but I was like, I'll try to
Yeah.
limit it to some because we could be going on and on
I probably
and
should have brought more stuff down here, honestly, that were like, I don't know. I'm gonna pick some random titles.
Still, what you picked was good. I mean, they were fine games. Like I said, there's still so many others. It's like it's that's hard choosing some of your favorites out of so many games.
Yeah.
But I was figuring that's why I didn't want to do the damn regular staple. I mean, yes, I can say many people said, okay, I played Final Fantasy VII, Ghosts and Goblins, Castlevania, but still I gave certain reasons behind some of those, but that's why yeah, I try to pick others that maybe you don't hear too much.
Yeah.
You're right, I wasn't gonna say, hey, I love Mario, I love Sonic the Hedgehog. That would have been too easy, I think. That's why I didn't want to do
I just, when you were showing all of your the Master System games and everything, because Genesis did as well, where they had the games in an actual case. I wish Nintendo would have adopted
agreed.
that,
No,
because
absolutely.
I hate the fact that like if it's not, if you don't have, because most people threw away their boxes. I kept all of my game boxes, but it
No.
just.
No, I agree. That's the thing I always loved. I remember when I first got a Sega Master System game, I was like, wow, that's a hard case. And pop it open. And, well, damn, getting pop it open after all these years. But yeah, pop it open. And it has the manual on one side and the game on the other. But that is what I thought. I remember I seen a lot of my friends, they get their Super Nintendo or their Nintendo games, and they just rip open the box. I'm like,
Oh.
oh, God, what are you doing? And then the ones that would try to keep it, eventually it'd start cracking throughout the years and getting distorted. I was like, damn, Nintendo, I wish you would have used the hard case like Sega did because you'd have to smash the living piss out of this to destroy it. You ain't gonna have corners bending on this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. You're right. That's the one thing I wish they did differently was the boxes. Well, that's probably why some of their games are so expensive, as not many people have their boxes and have them in good condition.
I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, I'm glad that my parents like kept all that stuff. They wouldn't let me throw away the boxes.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. I mean, at least you have parents that did look out for you like that because some people, when they have their parents that gave them a game, their parents don't even care to look at it. So usually the kids rip it. The parents couldn't care if they let, ripped it up or destroyed it. It's like, oh, God. But, well, Jesus, I think that might wrap us up, man. So,
Yeah.
You have any closing things you want to say to everybody? Because, well, I just want to again thank everybody that did join us in the chat room. It was good having you here. And like I said, I know it was a different day. It's Saturday. But like I said, I'm going to be busy tomorrow. But Nathan will give you the details about tomorrow about him and Tyler.
Yeah, I guess I just want to thank everyone as well, because I know it being on a different day, especially a Saturday. Thanks for everyone that took some part of their day to sit and watch us ramble on about video games. We're gonna have to do this again. We have to have more episodes of just you and I talking about video games, because there's just so many things we can talk about.
Yeah, there's tons. Like I said, this was just a little taste, and with even this little taste, I mean, hell, there's times that there could probably be one game we could ramble on and on about. So, yeah, that was trying to split it up into a lot of parts.
Yeah. But tomorrow, Tyler and I will be doing the regular time slot at 2 o'clock. And we're going to be talking, like we said earlier in the episode, Batman the Animated Series. We're going to kind of just briefly touch on our history with the show. And then we're going to do a commentary for the episode Trial, which I've put a link, a Daily Motion link to the episode in the description of that video. So when you guys do jump in live or when you watch after the fact, you can click down there and watch along with us.
And also, just wanted to let them know really quickly, if you're wanting to watch Fans of Power tomorrow, we're not going to be doing it tomorrow because of, well, it's Easter. A lot of people are busy. So, Tyler and I tonight, Nathan will be recording for Fans of Power tonight at 9 o'clock. So we're going to do just a special Saturday night episode of Fans of Power with Nathan doing the recording for us.
Yeah. I should just occasionally just pop in or something and say something dumb, but I don't want to mess up your show.
No, that's fine. So, well, tell everybody about the liking, the subscribing, the sharing, and the ringing the bells, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, you've already covered part of it.
You say it better than I do, though. I don't even know what I'm
Oh,
talking
no,
about.
it just, you come across this video, give it a like, share, subscribe to the channel, click the bell so you get the notifications when we're going live. Click in the description of each video. We got the Facebook link to our page, so you can pop in there and leave suggestions. Send us an email, beyondretro84@gmail.com, I believe. I think I said it before. Like, I was like, should I put podcast in? Makes the email too long.
That'd be long, yeah.
And then the audio version, whenever that gets uploaded to Podbean, I always put that in the description as well. So you can download us and take us on the road.
There you go. All right. Well, again, yeah, thank you for joining us for this special episode. And well, I guess until next time, see you later. But of course, you'll be catching Nathan and Tyler tomorrow. So
Yeah.
remember, tomorrow to catch us.
Yep. I'll be seeing you guys tomorrow, Joe. I'll see you later tonight for Fans of Power for like 5 minutes.
All right, it was fun. It was fun, guys. Take it easy.
See ya.